This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. Now, again, if you would like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. You might be interested in some of the information that's on my website. I would encourage you to go there and use some of that information. The radio program can be re-listened to there. I have a weekly meditation that you can read there. And you can contact me through the website or through regular mail. So if you want the mailing address or the website address, get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write them down at the close of the program. Now today I want to go back to Luke chapter 19 and begin and reread the story of Zacchaeus. We read it once. I want to reread it. We touched on some of the important issues with Zacchaeus, but when we come to Luke's gospel, it seems like there are so many human stories in the gospels that are instructive for us today. The gospel really has to do with the Lord as the Son of Man, and it seems like there's human interest stories in the gospel of Luke that really take our attention. And so the last couple of programs we've been dealing with the blind man who received his sight, and now we're dealing with a tax collector who comes to know the Lord. And this is a very straightforward passage because with the blind man that we looked at the end of Luke 18, he was healed, and we applied it to coming to know the Lord. But with Zacchaeus, we're looking at a man who actually came to know the Lord. We don't have to apply it. And so it is very instructive, and we've touched on some of these points, but I want to, again, look at this story. Because at the end of it, we read the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And friend, that's a verse that you need to be able to remember, to understand, and to identify with. Now, when we look at Luke 19 and verse 1, it says, then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now, Jericho, again, is often looked at as the place of death. You go down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And you'll remember that the children of Israel, when they first came into the land, they crossed the Jordan River near Jericho, and Jericho was the city that they came to where the walls fell down, and there was a great destruction. So there's a lot of history associated with Jericho, but basically you go down from Jerusalem, the place where you worship God, to Jericho, and that's symbolic. But nevertheless, the Lord was entering and passing through Jericho. And I again, just as in John chapter 4, he must needs go through Samaria to meet a Samaritan woman who was hungering and thirsting after righteousness. I believe he entered and passed through Jericho because there was a man there by the name of Zacchaeus that he wanted to meet as well. And he knew that Zacchaeus wanted to meet him. And I am convinced that where there's a person who wants to know the truth, who wants to meet the Lord finds them and meets them in some way. You cannot preach the gospel without believing in the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord himself was filled with the Spirit, and he operated in fellowship with the Spirit. And there's no doubt in my mind that he knew that here was a man that needed to meet him, and a man who was ready to receive him. And so he went through Jericho, and in a sense, I think that he was available to others, but his real mission was to this particular man. The Bible says that there's a broad and a crowded way that leads to destruction, and there's many that go in thereat, but it's a straight and narrow way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. And sometimes I wonder if we understand how few really seek after the Lord, because the Lord always finds his lost sheep. He's not going to leave anybody behind who wants to know him, who wants to be saved, who wants their sins forgiven. And this story with Zacchaeus reminds me of that. Now, Zacchaeus was a tax collector. collector. And so we'll continue this story, which says, "Now behold, a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich." I identify with that because in my prior life, I was a CPA. Now, I wasn't a tax collector like Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus actually worked for the Roman government. As I understand it, he would have been given a quota as to the amount of tax he should collect. And if he could collect more than that, he put it in his own pocket. Yeah, we didn't work that way. At least I didn't work that way as a CPA. I did my best to fill out honest tax returns that met the requirements of the law, and I charged for my time. I never in any way filled out those tax returns, so I got a percentage of the savings or a percentage of some benefit that my taxpayer got because they used me. I just charged for the time it took for me to fill out those tax returns. I tried to be honest about it. But Zacchaeus, because he was identified with an oppressive Roman government, was hated by the people. And I don't care if he'd been honest, he would have been hated by the people because he was collecting taxes for the Romans. So he was not a part of the accepted society of that day. But apparently, as we go down through the story, it's quite evident that he didn't always collect honestly. And so he was rich, and he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was short of stature. And again, I can identify with that because I'm sort of short as well. And so he had to climb up into a tree in order to see the Lord. But this makes it clear to me that seeing the Lord was important to him. He wanted to see this man he had heard so much about. And so he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house." And I like the fact that now that we're looking at a story of a man who was reached and saved, the Lord knows his name. And that encourages me. I realize with the blind man, he was healed. And I think we know his name as well from other passages. But at the same time here, the name is given. And when we come to Luke chapter 16, which we've dealt with in the past, we find out that there was a rich man who died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torment. And we find that there was another man by the name of Lazarus who died, and the angels carried him into Abraham's bosom, and it was Lazarus who was saved. The poor man became rich in eternity, and the rich man became very poor in eternity, and the rich man's name is forgotten forever, but the name of Lazarus is remembered forever. And the Bible says, "The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knows them that are his," and he knew Zacchaeus by name, and that name would never be forgotten. He knew Lazarus by name. And if you're a saved person today, he knows you by name. He knows his sheep by name. And we know him. And that greatly encourages me when we talk about a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. This is one of the things that we're talking about. The Lord has our names recorded in his book and will never, never be blotted out if we're truly saved. And so he says, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at your house." And the thing I want you to notice is Zacchaeus had to come down. Now this, I'm going to make a symbolic statement from this. Many people don't understand that in order to be saved, we become like little children. In order to be saved, we have to be humbled. We have to lose our pride. We have to accept the fact that we are in need of what the Lord is providing. We have to come as guilty sinners. And so when we're saved, there's nothing to boast of. And when Zacchaeus had to make haste and come down symbolically, it was picturing what the gospel does to us when it humbles us and makes us understand the sinfulness of sin and the fact that none of us deserve to be saved. We're saved by grace. And so he had to come down, and in order to come, when he came down, he was able to receive the Lord joyfully. And the Lord says, "Today I must stay at your house." The old King James says, "I must abide at your house." He came to live, or at least make himself the guest of Zacchaeus. And of course, while Zacchaeus humbled himself, symbolically humbled himself, and I think spiritually humbled himself as well, because I think we find out that he begins to realize he has restitution that he needs to make. When Zacchaeus did all of that, the Lord came and had fellowship with him, and Zacchaeus had nothing to boast about. And people have nothing to boast about when they come to know the Lord. That is, it's not of works lest any man should boast. It's not something that we do to please God. It's something God has done so that we can receive his salvation. God has done it for us, but we can boast in the Lord. And if there's any boasting to be done, it's in the fact that we have a Savior like no other. We have a Savior that loved us with an everlasting love. We have a Savior that lives. We have a Savior that's powerful. And we have a Savior that not only can save us, but that he can save others. Zacchaeus not only was saved, but Zacchaeus was able to have fellowship with the Lord that day. And he says, when he received the Lord, you will note that it changed him. And we noted last time that it's quite apparent when you read the commentaries and you read the actual tenses associated with what he says. He says, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And it's really, I now give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I don't think it should be if. It's since I have taken things from people by false accusation, I now restore him fourfold. And there are good grammatical reasons I understand for believing that that's the way that should be written. He didn't have anything to boast in because he had received salvation, but as a result of receiving salvation, he wanted to go out and make restitution to those he had wronged. And this is a very important scripture along that line. When people really come to know the Lord, they really should have a desire to make things right with those that they have wronged. They should pay their past bills, and they should, to the extent that they can, apologize to those they have offended. And we could go on with the list. That does not save us. Those are the things that result because we now have a conscience, a clear conscience before God, and a desire to please him. And so the Lord said, today salvation has come to this house. Zacchaeus was saved. He was delivered from that old life, but he's also delivered to live with Christ eternally. He had eternal life. The Son of Man had come to seek and to save that which was lost. And as I said at the beginning of the program, this is the verse I want you to remember. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Have you ever been lost? And have you ever been so confused you had to stop and ask for directions? And when you ask for directions, you realize that you should have understood where you were, but you just had gotten confused. You'd gotten turned around. I've been in that situation. But it takes an opening of our understanding by somebody who can help us. And it's only the Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that can help us and make us see the truth that if we go our own way, we're going to go downward to a lost eternity. But if we seek the Lord, he'll meet us. He'll reveal himself to us. He'll show us his salvation. We'll be able to depend on him, and we'll be amongst those who can say that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save me, that which was lost. Our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon thy word. We pray for thy blessing upon all who have listened. We trust that this program will be a help to those who have heard it, that there might be someone in heaven as a result of it. So we commit ourselves to you in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.